Ephesians chapter 6, we're continuing our series on disciplines for a deeper spiritual life, and this evening we want to focus upon the aspect of prayer. So let's read Ephesians 6 and verse 18, where it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the work that you want to do in us, Lord, and through us, by your Spirit, by you transforming us in your image. We just pray that you would help us, that we would do what you would have us to do faithfully, that we would draw ourselves unto you. As it says, that if we draw nigh to God, you will draw nigh to us, Lord. Just pray you'd bless us and open up understanding and help us to put in practice what we've heard, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we've looked at, our sanctification is God's work in us, where He transforms us into His image. He makes us like Himself. But that doesn't mean that we just sit there and do nothing and expect that one day suddenly we'll wake up and we'll be the super Christian that never has any trouble with sin. That our responsibility, it says in Philippians, is to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That God is making the change. He's planted the seed in us that will produce fruitfulness, that will produce Christ-likeness, but we need to be providing the best conditions possible for the growth of that seed. Watering it, weeding it, fertilizing it. God will give the increase. And He is the one that makes us anew. He changes us. It says in 2 Corinthians, from glory to glory. It's kind of a sense from the glory of our original salvation, passing from death unto life, to the glory of when we're raised to walk, or we're raised from the dead, that He changes our vile body to be like His glorious body. And so as we examine the idea of sanctification, as we seek to draw closer to the Lord, we seek to develop these disciplines, we recognize that prayer is essential, that it must become a discipline and a pattern of our life. That we know in different places in the Scriptures it says pray without ceasing. We see here in this passage where it says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's something that we want it to become more and more a part of our life. And it's a challenge for us. It's something that we look at and we say, well, how is that possible to even pray through the day? Some would definitely think, well, I can't pray while I'm driving because I have to keep my eyes open while I'm driving. It's not going to work. Or we think, well, how can I pray while I'm trying to talk with someone else? But it's something that we need to learn, something that we get in essentially the mindset of prayer. That connection with the Lord. And as we do that, we need to first understand what prayer is, what God's purpose is for it, the focus in our prayers. Because there's a lot of times that, just as with many of the other things we do, that we do them kind of as an end in themselves. That it becomes something that we just kind of check off, and we think, well, if I do this for a certain time, I'm a pretty good Christian. That we just kind of figure, well, I'm a good Christian because I do this. But it's there are means to the end, that we do these things so that we're in a position where God's going to transform us. God's going to make us into His image. And so, as we pray, we recognize that our tendency is we pray at meals. We might pray together with others, or when we're in real desperation, and usually when we've exhausted all other options, we'll pray. But so often that tends to be the extent of it. I think as believers, you could say that we do far too many Hail Mary prayers. And I'm not saying that we pray to Mary. It's the idea of in football where you have the Hail Mary pass, where it's the end of the game. The team is down, they're going to lose the game, and so the quarterback throws this long bomb way in the air, and he's just hoping that someone's going to catch it and they can pull victory out of the jaws of defeat and fix everything. And if you've seen that, if different games, sometimes that happens and it's the person is like celebrated as a hero, and then other times it doesn't work and they're looked at as a dog, and it's with all of it we recognize that it's this final act of desperation, and in some ways I've seen it with some teams that it's sort of, well, if they would have started playing a little bit sooner and not waited till the last minute, then maybe they wouldn't have had to do the Hail Mary pass at the end. And that's kind of how it can be with us, is that we wait until we're in a desperate strait at the end of our rope, and we cry unto God, and God is faithful. He will so often deliver us, but we don't learn from that. We don't realize, well, I need to seek Him before it gets to that bad situation. We'll get out of the bad situation and we'll kind of go back to what we could call our regularly scheduled programming, and then there's not a change. And then we get in a bad situation, we call Him again. And we realize there will always be times when we're in difficult situations and we cry unto the Lord, and He'll provide deliverance. But if that's the only time that we pray, we're doing ourselves and God and others a disservice. That if we're praying consistently, really what will happen is the Lord can be with us, He can strengthen us, He can give us wisdom, and so we won't find ourselves in those desperate situations as much. That it's the idea in Proverbs where a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. If we're in tune with the Lord, if we're praying, if we're especially if we're in tune with Him, we're starting down a wrong path and He shows it and we confess and forsake it, it gets us away from getting into a serious situation later on. And so we want to see that prayer is something that we want to have more than just kind of in emergencies. I think all of us have seen sometimes in different buildings that they have those things where it's an alarm or something, and it says, in case of fire, break the glass. And we don't want our prayer life to be like that, that it's something that we have on the shelf, that if we're really in trouble, then we'll smash it and we'll use the phone to call the Lord and have Him bail us out. We want to have it more than that. We want to have it a part of our life all the time. And I think as well, something that we need to correct in our thinking, because we tend to look at prayer, and I think this is the main reason why it isn't a part of our life that it should be, is that so often we look at prayer as a means to get stuff, to get what we want. It's almost an exercise that we do essentially to try to conform God's will to ours. So we say, well, this is what I want, Lord. Please, please, please give it to me. And we try to find a way to do that. And when we get what we want, then we go away. If we have a need, then we'll pray. But if we don't think we have a need, then we don't bother. Or we think, well, I'm satisfied, I'm happy, so I don't need to have that prayer time as I once did. But I think we see in Scripture that many times when we don't think that we need anything, that's when we need the Lord the most. We think of the Laodicean church where they said, well, we are rich, we're increased with goods, and we have need of nothing. The Lord said that, no, you're wretched and poor and blind and naked. And that often we can find in times where we have great blessings, great prosperity, things are going well, that sometimes it's those times that we can be the most spiritually destitute and that we need to cry unto the Lord. And it speaks in James that we don't have what we really need because we don't ask for it, or we ask and we don't receive it because we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our own lusts. That we want something, but it's not for the right reasons. It's not truly for our benefit. And the Lord is not going to give us because He knows what's best for us. And we're hoping that we can find a way to convince Him of it. And we actually find, sadly, sometimes where He gives us our heart's desire, but then He sends leanness into our soul. It speaks in Psalm 106 that we get what we want, but then we realize we didn't want it in the end, that it wasn't what we really needed, that it's actually to our detriment. And it's not a good situation to find ourselves in. But we want to get a true understanding of prayer and its purpose, why it's so important, why it needs to become a pattern and discipline of our life. And to do that, we want to get a perspective of God's purpose and agenda in prayer, that it is much different from ours. That the whole idea of prayer is not just to get stuff from the Lord. Even though we know that He's a gracious, giving God, He delights to bless those that come unto Him. But really, when we understand it, His blessings are in many ways just a byproduct, almost some that He kind of throws in because of His mercy and grace. That we want to see that God is not Santa Claus. He's not someone that we come to with just kind of a wish list, and we expect Him to fill it, and we'll throw a fit if He doesn't. That the purpose of prayer is to commune with God. The purpose of prayer is to enjoy Him, to spend that time with Him, and allow Him to transform us by our time of being with Him. You can think of a father with a wayward son, a son that hasn't seen for many months, that's doing his own thing, but he shows up on the father's doorstep one time, and the father says, "Oh, it's so good to see you again. We've missed you. So glad you could come." And the son says, "Well, Dad, I'm a bit behind on my bills. I was wondering if you could loan me a bit of money." And the father, "Well, sure." He's glad to help him out, and he gets him what he needs. And he says, "Well, hey, why don't you come in? We're just about to sit down for supper. You can catch up on things." And the son says, "Well, sorry, Pop, I got to go. Thanks for the money. I'll see you later." And we see that the father was willing to give. He wants to help his son. But more than anything, the father just wants to spend time with his son. And it's the same with the Lord, that we get into trouble, He can bail us out, but He wants to spend that time with us. And we realize if we spend some time with the Lord, just as with the Father, that if we spend time with the Lord, we can learn wisdom from Him as our Heavenly Father. He can help us to get some kind of sense and wisdom and direction in our life so that we're not needing to be bailed out so much, that we don't keep getting into the same trouble. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants to give us a communion, a fellowship with Him. He is the God of the universe. And with so many things going on in this world, and of course it's our thought that God is not as... In our minds, we don't comprehend how big He is, but we think, well, He's not going to have time. I almost don't want to bother Him, or I'll come to Him when I really have trouble. But the thing is, He has time for all of us, and He wants us to take that time. It is a great privilege. It's a great joy just to be with Him. It speaks in Psalm 16:11 that in Thy presence is fullness of joy, that when we're with Him, that's the greatest place to be in His presence, to commune with Him, to just have that time with Him, that we don't seek all these other things or what He can give us, we seek Him. And that's what we desire. If we come to prayer and we basically say, "Well, I just have this little thing that I want," and as soon as we get it, we're gone again, how much do we miss out that the Lord wants to give unto us? The fellowship, the empowerment of life, the peace, the blessedness that comes that just being in His presence. And so we want to see that prayer, God's purpose in it is to transform us. It is the means by which God changes us into His image. And we recognize that we can't stay in God's presence for very long without being changed. And perhaps we recognize that that's maybe why our sin nature kind of works in us and makes us so reluctant to get into prayer and want to leave it so quickly, because when we're in the presence of God, it starts to make us uncomfortable. There's things that confront us that we may not want to be confronted with, but the whole reason the Lord's bringing them up, because He wants us to deal with them. He wants us to confess them, and He can cleanse us from all sin, and then we can walk in the newness of life, that we don't have to continue in that. And prayer is not conforming God's will to ours, it's instead conforming our will to His. That we're to seek His way and not our way. And we say, well, I want to have my way, but the fact is he's God and we're not. That if anybody gets to have his way, it's him. He created the world, he gave us life, anybody gets his way, it's him. But we realize he is all wise, he is all loving. If his way and our way conflicts, which one is going to be the best way? We know every time it's going to be the Lord's. If we have a desire and the Lord doesn't answer it, it's not because he's being mean, it's because it might not be the right time, or he might have something better for us. And we have to learn that, learn to trust him in that. And we might have our list of what we want, but the thing is in some ways you can think, well, he kind of has his list of what he might want from us, that he wants to speak to us of certain things he wants us to deal with, because he wants to help us. And our tendency is kind of like Jacob the trickster. We kind of want to make a deal. You say, well, if you do this for me, God, then I'm going to do this for you. I'll do what you want me to do. But we realize that God doesn't make deals. And if he was, he's the one that's going to get the better end of the bargain. That we do what he wants. And we actually find that from the scriptures. If we're trying to get all that we want and focusing on what we think our needs or our wants, we're going to find out that we're missing the point. We're missing the whole blessing of prayer. But if we do what he wants, if we get his priorities as first place in our lives, we'll actually find that all other needs that we have are looked after. We see this in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus was teaching them that they were to take, this is verse 31, that they were to take no thought what we shall eat, what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that's the thought of seeking him first, having his priorities, that even when we read the what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer, that it the way that it is, it's thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and then after that it's give us this day our daily bread, that we put him first, and then he's going to answer our needs. But when we come to the Lord in prayer, and as we seek to make prayer a continual part and pattern of our life, we recognize in doing that that it is a continued acknowledgement that we need him, that we pray because we have a need. And if we're going to pray continuously, it's because we recognize that we always need him, that there isn't a time in our life when we can get by without him. That the life that we live, it is not about the things that we possess, it isn't about stuff, that's really a distraction, because God will provide all our needs. We can be assured of that as a Christian, that we're to be content with just food and raiment. But our real needs are not material, they're not even physical, our real needs are spiritual. Without him, we can do nothing. If we are to grow as Christians, if we're to grow in our faith, if we're to bear fruit in our lives, do his will, accomplish his purposes for us, then we need him to do a change in us, to do a work in us. That we need him to transform us and empower us. The life we live, that we can't accomplish what we want to. We can't become the Christians that we want to. We can't fulfill our responsibilities, whether it's as a spouse or a parent or as a citizen of a country or anything like that. We can't do what we desire to do without him. And so as we learn to pray, that we come to him, and we need him all the time for everything. And the fact is, God knows that already. That it's quite plain to him that how much we need him. And it's just, he's hoping that eventually we'll kind of figure that out, of how much that we truly do need him. And that's why he calls us to prayer. It's because if you, and we found that ourselves, that we can have times where the Lord helps us in some, but then for some crazy reason we think, well, Lord, okay, well, you helped me through that, and now I can kind of do the next one on my own. Kind of like with Joshua and the children of Israel when they came into the promised land, that the Lord gave them victory over Jericho, and then when they went to Ai, they didn't even consult the Lord. They just went up and said, well, Lord, we don't need everybody, just, or they said to Josh, we don't need everybody, just let's have a few guys go and we'll beat Ai. And the fact is if they would have consulted the Lord, they would have been evident there was sin in the camp, that some had to be dealt with before they would go up. And once they dealt with that, and once they got the wisdom that they, because really they totally underestimated the men of Ai, and the Lord had to give them some pretty good strategy to trick them in order to get the victory. And so that's what we need to do, that each time, everything that we do, that we pray, that the Lord helps us through one situation, well, we start praying for the next situation. And so, in all of this, that we say, okay, well, I know prayer is something that needs to become part of my life. I want to make it a pattern of life, but how do I learn to pray? What do I do? How do we get to this point of praying always? And prayer is a challenge, because it's something that we get easily distracted from, we get easily discouraged in. That it's one of those things that no one's really going to notice if you pray or you don't pray a lot of the times. It's not something that can get much attention until we get to glory. It's something that's easy to allow to fall by the wayside. And often when we're trying to learn to pray, we get frustrated and discouraged because we don't think that we're doing it right. And it's a challenge in prayer because we want it to be like we're talking to the Lord face to face, but of course we don't see a face. We're doing it by faith. That we're, and you can kind of think why some people made images and tried to worship them, because it was easier in some ways to have some kind of representation that they could commune with and worship. But the Lord said, I don't want you to do that. I want you to come to me by faith. And so it's a challenge that we're talking to someone and we don't necessarily hear back right away, and there's challenges in it. And often we don't seem to get it right. We can get discouraged and quit. And the Lord wants to encourage us in prayer. That it's something that we're growing in the Lord. That it becomes a discipline. That it's something that it takes time to build in. That you think of any soldier that develops discipline. That sure they're, when they get on the field, that they have all this training and everything else, but you think of all the time that came before that of boot camp and other things. That it used to be kind of in the great wars that boot camp was kind of rushed because they had to get you on the field in some ways, but nowadays you actually find a lot of the training, like you'll be in a couple years before you ever see a battlefield, because it's just, there's so much to have to learn and be aware of. And so with prayer, that it's the same thing, that it's something we have to be exercised in, something we have to continue in. And in Luke chapter 11, we see something that it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. That they saw Jesus praying and they wanted to learn to pray as he did. But it's significant to note that it doesn't say, Lord, teach us how to pray. It just says, Lord, teach us to pray. Because sometimes we focus so much on the how of, okay, well, what words do I say? How do I say it? I got to get it in the right order. I got to do it right. And it's almost like we're crafting some kind of petition to the Prime Minister or the Queen, and we figure, well, if we don't do it right, if we don't present it in just the right way, it's just going to get rejected or sent back. But we realize God is not fickle like that. That it's not the words that we say, it's the heart from which those words come. That our prayer is not a magical incantation or a vain repetition, that we say the same words over again and it's just kind of a magic formula that being suddenly the Lord will answer our prayer. That we got to get past all of that thinking, that the Lord knows where we are. He knows we're in weakness, and he doesn't care about how polished we are. And sometimes when we get polished, it actually kind of turns him away in some ways. We think of the man and the Pharisee and the publican when they went up to the temple to pray, that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess." We see verse 13, "The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus said, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." That we come to him as a servant unto his master, we come as a child unto his father, and it's a relationship we have, that we come in humility, not that we're demanding of the Lord, but we want to come to him. We want him, essentially, that we're coming as a student to a teacher as well, that we're saying, "Lord, as I'm praying, teach me to pray. Teach me how to speak to you, how to commune with you." That it takes time. It takes work. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. But it's that whole idea of the patient continuance and well-doing that we're to do as Christians, that we're to keep at it. And we want to realize that the Lord knows what we're going through. He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's there. He wants to help us in it. And as we pray, we want to realize that it says in Romans chapter 8 that we know not how to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself beareth our infirmities, and he makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is Romans 8, verse 26. That the Holy Spirit essentially is coming alongside, that he wants to help us, and that what we might utter might just seem like that didn't make any sense, that's not going to affect anything. But when, if the heart's right, the Holy Spirit can make sure that it gets to where it's going, and that it that he comes alongside and prays with us. And so that's what we want to see, and that's with that verse that we began with, Ephesians chapter 6. I just want to again give you just some practical things as you seek to learn how to be praying always. It says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." That it's something that with all of it that we're coming to it in our humility, coming it into our weakness, and we have the Spirit indwelling us, the Spirit that is with us all the time, that he's there to help, that we're seeking him to enable us to commune with God, that we can't do it in our own strength, that we think of the disciples of how they tried to pray and all they did was fall asleep. And we found that too, or I found that too sometimes. I remember when I was younger, I was trying to pray sometimes, and it's like I'd try to kneel or something, and I'd drift off or whatever. And so I know one time I tried to just sit in a chair and pray, and I just kept nodding off and never really got anywhere. But it's the thing is one that we want his strength, and it's a thing that we want to get ourselves prepared for prayer, that in a sense that sometimes I think that's part of the problem too. And we talk about this and learn to be still, that we're in such a rush that sometimes what happens in our prayer is we kind of just get to a point where we're really going to start praying, and then it's like, oh, time's up, I got to go. And we need to learn to find ways to make the time last a little bit longer, to have that time where we can commune with the Lord. But I think we recognize as well that the idea of praying always, it's like, well, how do we do that? We want to have specific times of prayer in our life, and we should, but we want to get to that point where we're always praying. And we wonder, well, how do I do that? How can I do that through the day? And it's the idea of having this idea of communion to Him, communion with Him, that we need His empowering to do that, but it's having that connection, trying to maintain that connection, that we're aware of His presence. We're trying to essentially, in many ways, commune with Him, ask questions, try to see His leading, try to see, okay, well, Lord, why is this happening? What do you want me to do? That we try to maintain that communion, that we have our time of prayer, and it can be a blessed time in the morning, but then sometimes we think, well, I have to leave that behind, I have to face the day without it. But the thing is the Lord wants us to realize we can take Him with us, that we can commune with Him, it's a challenge, but it's something that we want to learn how to do. And we see in this verse as well, it gives the idea, the last phrase, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That this is kind of an idea that can help us as well with learning to pray always. If we're watching thereunto in prayer, it's the idea of vigilance, kind of like a soldier that's standing on guard, that's watching to make sure that the enemy does not approach unawares. That from different people that I know that have been in the military, that's kind of one of the hardest things for them to learn, is to stay awake on guard duty, because it can be just totally boring, and there's nothing going on, and you're tired, you want to just go to sleep. But to train yourself to be able to stay awake, because you know that in that time that you're not off, that potentially the enemy could be just outside of your vision, and if they see you asleep, then that's when they'll take the advantage, and your entire company could be overrun, and it will be because you were failed to be vigilant. And so it's that idea, if a soldier falls asleep at watch, all are endangered. And we want to look at prayer that way, that it's a service that we can render. That it's one of those things that it may not be noticed except when we forget, but it can make such a difference. I remember reading about, there was a general in the Civil War known as Stonewall Jackson. He was a Christian man, and he had great success, and it was, apparently he every morning he would pray for all these other generals and other men that were beneath him, that they would be safe. And while he was alive, they were protected. But what actually happened after he died, then it was like all these other ones started getting killed too, and it was just kind of that umbrella of protection, that watchfulness was gone, and so they started to be in danger as well. And it's the idea is we want to have this watchfulness in our life, a sensitivity to what's going on in the world, what's going on in others' life, to the Spirit's leadings, that we want to have that vigilance in prayer, that we keep the watch, that we know there's a time to sleep, and that's our time to rest and recuperate, but then when we're awake, that's our time to be on the watch, our time to be fulfilling our duty, we realize if we learn to do that we can make a great difference, that we can, in our own life, we can pray for things in others' life, we can see what's happening, we can pray for them kind of preemptively. It's kind of like with Jesus, how he spoke to Peter. He said, well, Satan's desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will fail not. And that it's, you can think of it with Peter of how he would have been in such a, it's like, uh-oh, Satan's kind of out to get me, but then the assurance, well, he's praying for me, that makes a difference. And so we want to learn to do that, that it's something that I think should kind of challenge us and encourage us, this thought of keeping the watch in prayer, that we're doing it for our own sake, we're doing it for others' sake, and that the Lord can help us in that. And it's always something that we think we can read of different people that were great men and women of prayer, and sometimes we can think, well, I just could never get to that point. I could never ascend to that level. But we want to realize is that with all the different people, it isn't like God makes different people with sort of like kind of some kind of gene that makes them like a super Christian or something more than others. That it speaks of Elijah, that he was a man of like passions as we are, and he prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years, and then he prayed again and the Lord brought rain. That the thing is, they started somewhere, and we could say, well, I would like to at least be used half as much as that person. Well, it's something that we have to start at a certain point. We have to exercise ourselves in it, that we may not be a prayer warrior right now, but that doesn't mean we can't be, that we want to keep praying, that we want to learn to keep that connection with the Lord when we're alone, when we're with others, that we learn to pray by ourselves in communion with God in private. We learn to pray together, whether it's with our spouse, with our family, with brothers and sisters in Christ, that we try to do that. We try to encourage one another in prayer, so it becomes more a part of our life. The more we do it, the more God will strengthen us, and as we keep at it, we'll see real results. And that's what the Lord wants to encourage us at, is no matter how good or bad we think our prayers are, or how effective we might think they are or not, He wants us to be continual in them. He encourages us. Luke chapter 11, He says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." He gives this idea of importunity, of we just keep banging on the door until we get the petition, that we continue to seek the Lord and be blessed by it. It says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" And that's the thing, that He wants to keep giving us of His Spirit as we keep asking. That He wants to bless us, He wants to transform us, He wants to give us of Himself. And so He wants to encourage us that we would keep at it. That's the only way that it's going to become a discipline, is if we continue it. That as we do that, as we pray, it'll bless us. It'll bless others. We pray for our own sake. We pray for others. It draws our mind and our heart in conformity to God. It builds our faith as we pray and we see the Lord answer it. And that's sometimes what happens, is if we're only praying for the big stuff, then it's kind of, we don't have that kind of background to go off and say, well, I don't know, I haven't asked Him for anything, and I'm not sure if I'm in communion with Him. I sure hope He's going to come through this time, I don't know. But if we're in communion, if we're asking Him just for the little things, and we've seen bit by bit, well, He's answered this prayer, He's answered this prayer. And it's like, well, I know He can answer this big one, because He's been. We have this whole thing behind us that we see. No, He's been faithful all the way through, and I can ask Him for even the bigger stuff. And that's what we want to learn, that as we do it, that It strengthens us. It builds our faith. The peace of God keeps our heart, that we, as we give everything over to Him, that we're not careful for anything. That we give everything to Him, that the peace of God will keep our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The more that we pray, the more we'll find that the Lord's transforming us, that we'll get to a point and we'll look back and we'll think, well, this was where I was, and now this is where I am. And it wasn't me that did this. This was God. And it just the Lord made it happen while I was seeking Him. And if we keep that connection open, if we remain tapped in to the true vine, in time, God will do this work in us that He desires to do, and we'll become more and more fruitful in our prayer and in our life itself. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask You, Lord, You would teach us to pray. Help us that we would learn to make it a priority of our life, make it a pattern of our life. We know there's so many things that distract us, and there's much that I think the devil wants to do to keep us from praying, but help us to be faithful and perseverant in our prayers, and trust that You will bless in them, and that even while we're waiting for maybe an answer of what we ask, that we realize that in that time that You're using that time to transform us and change us into Your image, helping us to trust You more. Just pray You would bless us, Lord, and continue to work in us and bring fruit into our lives as we diligently seek after You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to one more hymn, number 357. We'll sing Near My God to Thee, number 357.